Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello there. This is Steve Behrman. Welcome to our first broadcast of Wiki Politiki. Wiki Politiki to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. It's the intention and purpose of Wiki Politiki Radio to spark a people's upwising. That's W-I-S-I-N-G, upwising, where we wake up, wise up, grow up, and show up. Wake up to how, until now, we've been manipulated, we've been divided and conquered. Wise up to see how we can work together for the betterment of each and all. Grow up from children of God to adults of good. And we get through this very awkward addled essence phase where our essence has been addled by misperceptions and media weapons of mass distraction. And we show up. We show up as empowered citizens, interdependent, independent, and interdependent, meaning we are interdependent. That is, we are connected to source in and through ourselves, whatever we call it. We're connected to that force that is all there is. We're independent. That is, we are sovereign sole proprietors, S-O-U-L, with a unique gift and purpose. And we are interdependent. We are in a new superorganism called humankind, where the currency is human kindness. We're connected with other human cellular souls. And we are in competition, but we're in competition in the ancient Greek sense of the word. Originally, the word competition meant to strive together. So we are striving together for the betterment of each and all, and we are not working against one another. We're not in a tug of war. We're in a tug of peace, pulling together in the same direction. I'm calling the show Wiki Politiki, but it's not only about politics. It's about everything. And in a shrinking world that could definitely use a good shrink, everything is politics, because the way we face and embrace and handle our collective issues and problems and challenges relates to our individual psychology, our collective psychology, our collective spiritual beliefs, and 5,000 years of how we have been ruled by the rule of the lowest common denominator. So I've got some really, really good news for everybody. We all need some good news. We have a deeply united body politic, a united body politic. I want to begin with two signs of the uprising that maybe you haven't noticed, or maybe if you did, you haven't really seen how they're connected together. First is a leftover factoid from the election a year ago. We remember that election. And this is an amazing statistic. 61% of Americans don't feel represented by either of the two political parties. That's almost two-thirds of us who had voted for neither of the above last year, but probably voted for one of the lesser evils. A friend of mine has said we had two terrible choices, and we ended up with one of them. So we actually very, very united in that. I would say that the latest statistic, I think, is close to 85 or 90% of the people in this country don't trust our government. They don't trust the media. They don't trust corporations. And so consequently, we're in a crisis of trust, a crisis of confidence, and we seem to be cast adrift. But the good news is we all agree that things don't seem to be working. Now, the other sign of the uprising is something that also began last year and is having repercussions this year. A year ago, when Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback, his strategy for dealing with the national anthem at that time was he would stay in the dugout, didn't show up for it. And he was confronted by an ex-Green Beret and also former NFL player named Nate Boyer. And Nate Boyer confronted him for not coming out of the dugout. And together they came up with a compromise. And the compromise was he would come out of the dugout, but while the other teammates were standing for the national anthem, he would be kneeling. And here's a quote from Nate Boyer. That's how it all started with Colin and I. Neither of us knew that kneeling would be the result of our conversation. Colin wanted to sit, I wanted him to stand, and so we found a common ground on a knee alongside his teammates. I believe that progress and real change happens in this world when you reach across the divide, you build a bridge, you swallow your pride, you open your mind, you embrace what you don't understand, and ultimately you surrender. Now here's the conservative, Nate Boyer, talking about how he got into a conversation with Colin Kaepernick, who is now his friend and compadre. And this year, something else happened. So I want to go back a little bit. The kneeling, which everybody has been so worked up about, was actually a transpartisan move. We'll talk more about transpartisanism throughout this entire show. It was a transpartisan move. It was a compromise between a progressive and a conservative who disagreed probably about a number of policy things, but who agreed that it is very, very important. It's essential that we respect one another, that we listen respectfully, and that is the way that we actually transform the current political, new word, situation. Okay. Now this year, Boyer became even more vocal and irritated at the way our body politic has been toxically divided. Here's another quote. Quote, to deploy overseas, train, live with, fight alongside, and ultimately defend foreigners that you have little in common with is truly a challenging task. But returning home to a country that is so divided, so judgmental, and so hateful of one another is almost as difficult to deal with as burying a fallen comrade. This is a really key awakening. This is really important because in a certain regard, in looking at our political condition right now, we are looking at a gravely ill body politic. We're looking at something that's suffering from autoimmune dysfunction, divided against itself. And one of the intentions of Wiki Politiki in bringing people into helpful and heartful conversation, as opposed to hurtful conversation, is to really amplify this awakening, wondering why is it that otherwise sane and reverent citizens on either side of the divide are mobilized against one another? It makes you wonder who benefits from all of this. Why are we so divided, and what has prevented us from working together? Last year, a weekend before the election, my friend and colleague Joseph McCormick, transpartisan activist, conservative activist, and he and I worked together considerably, wrote an e-book called Reuniting America. And Joseph, who now works and lives in China, a weekend before the election, sent me a photo of these Chinese characters written on a whiteboard. And the translation was, neighbors fight, landlord benefits. So that's Joseph's insight, and I would have to agree with him that one of the classic political ploys over the centuries has been divide and conquer. Keep people separate, keep people suspicious of one another, and you prevent them from uniting on their own behalf. So this is what we are faced with. We have a severe cultural divide. We've been divided into two tribes, Red Tribe Republicans, Blue Tribe Democrats. Swami, my alter ego Swami, will tell you more about that later. But for now, let's look at where we are. You know, I think perhaps as citizens, awakening citizens, left and right, we're awakening left and right, we need to do an intervention. You know, I think that more people are recognizing that our system cannot reform itself. It's addicted to money. It's addicted to power. And only an intervention, like you would do an intervention on a relative who is an alcoholic or a drug addict. And perhaps we have to look at it that our beloved Uncle Sam is strung out. He's addicted to money, power, and corruption. And our entire family is in danger because our electoral system has given us the choice that we've had, which is not much of a choice. The credibility of the system is in peril, and an intervention is required. So I think that as we come together as independent awakening citizens, we will create that program to check our beloved Uncle Sam into. And WikiPolitiki is here to help co-create that program and awaken us from a political dark night of the soul, and awaken us to recognize that only by gathering around the virtues and the values we have in common can we do the necessary intervention to make sure that our governance is answerable to we the people and not just to the unchecked, unbalanced, and unmitigated power of money. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back with WikiPolitiki, and just to continue this conversation about what we're all about, this is our first show, and so I want to lay out the parameters, our purpose, our intention, and set a course so that you'll understand why we have the guests that we will have on the show. WikiPolitiki is a gathering place for conversations, bringing together what I call solutionaries who are ready not just to resist what we don't want, but to envision and design and create what we do want. And these, I think, are the voices that need to be heard now, constructive voices in a new conversation, giving voice to solutions and new directions. So I think it's really, really important that these conversations align around our fundamental virtues and values, that which we have in common, because I think the missing piece in this conversation has been what some people would call the sacred, what I would call the heart and soul of who we are. And so this is something that transcends both religion and non-religion. It goes beyond political left and political right. And it's to the values that 90% of us hold in common. We all want to have fair governance. We all want to have honesty, transparency, justice, and equality. And as we will find out throughout the course of this show, the prime way of creating that is by ordinary citizens coming together to discover extraordinary ways of working together. So I'm calling these conversations for possibility, and these are all going to be archived. They are conversations that will be listened to over and over, that will be shared, and that hopefully will spark new kinds of conversations among all of us as to how we can move forward together using the best thinking of progressives and conservatives in the context of thrival. New word, thrival for all. And of course, you know, we're going to be talking about things other than politics. My colleague, Joseph McCormick, when we were working together, we agreed that to really pull off this evolutionary transformation, there has to be both a psychological and spiritual maturing, as we said earlier, from children of God to adults of good. So many of the guests that we have will be talking about these much deeper, what I would call meta issues, above and beyond the dueling duality politics that we see. Some would call it the puppet show. Some would call it the two-party tyranny. We're going to get above and beyond that to find out much more about long-term patterns of human behavior and misperceptions and how we can rise up and wise up together. We'll also be talking about the restorative economy that unifies economy and ecology, and we'll also be looking at the shadow, the issues that have been pushed under the carpet, and because of the times as they are right now, because of everything coming to a head, this is what we have to face, this heart of darkness or this dark of heartlessness. And as the Swami will tell us, when things come to a head, it's time for us to come to the heart, and that's where we will be staying. Now, one of the problems that we've been facing, you know, it's not just that we have alternative points of view. You know, it used to be that, you know, progressives and conservatives disagreed about issues of policy and so on. Well, it's a much deeper wound and wedge that we have right now, because essentially we are dealing with two competing realities. And so one of the things that we're going to do in this, it may be asking for quite a lot, one of the things we're going to be doing in our show is we're going to be bringing together representatives of two sides who also agree that they want to work together and come up with a common way forward. So that's going to be a model that hopefully other people will copy, and perhaps some of these conversations that we initiate here on WikiPolitiki will be will get legs and even wings, and other people will begin to engage that way. My colleague Joseph McCormick, and again I'll keep mentioning Joseph. He was a pioneer in this transpartisan politics idea. He was from the conservative point of view. He was a Army Ranger, Christian Coalition, ran for Congress as a Republican. And when he lost his election, he went through a dark night of the soul and came out of that with the realization that his mission was to reunite America. And he got a grant, and he brought together leaders from all across the political spectrum and interviewed them. And this is, you know, people like from Noam Chomsky to Ross Perot, from Grover Norquist to Ralph Nader, all across the political spectrum, and asking, you know, what is wrong with American politics and how can it be made right again? And they all said pretty much the same thing, that the problem was lack of engagement. The way to make things right would be to bring people together, to engage one another, to gauge together, and bring that missing element in government of, by, and for the people, together in conversation and in functional and helpful action. So Joseph did this. He did this with a group in Seattle, Washington, and this was really an extraordinary group because he had the entire political spectrum there. It was a group that ranged, depending on what month it was, it could be 20 to 30 people to 50 or 60 people. And it was very contentious because people were very vociferous about what they believed. And when all of the yelling and screaming died down, and there was a little bit of silence, and then what happened was the two sides began to educate one another. They began to communicate. They began to listen. And lo and behold, the progressives helped the conservatives understand organic farming and community. The conservatives helped the progressives understand the Federal Reserve and why we shouldn't have it, and monetary policies. And so the two of these groups came together and they actually created a statement, what we agree on. And it was an extraordinary statement because it really was universal. And it was heartening in the sense that people agree about so many things. And yet, because of how the political discourse has been conducted until now, we seem to be on different sides of the divide, yelling and screaming at each other. And the people that we're yelling and screaming at don't really exist. They're really just stereotypes, straw men, et cetera, et cetera. So right now we have a situation where these two sides believe totally different things. Years ago, I did an article. It was essentially about Fox News and about how they perpetrate lies. It was called "Come On, Baby, Fight My Liar." And in the article, in looking at what percentage of the stuff that Fox was reporting was actually out-and-out lies, I said, apparently people on the right like being lied to, where people on the left prefer being lied to, prefer lying to themselves, which got me in a little bit of trouble. But what I meant by that is that on the right, we've seen it in this recent election and through the alt-right point of view, that these people are very, very quick to believe in quote-unquote conspiracy theories. We'll talk more about that later. Whereas the people on the left are not even willing to entertain the possibility that something like 9/11 was an inside job, or that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act alone, or that James Earl Ray was not the assassin of Martin Luther King. And there's plenty of credible evidence on all three of those areas that would indicate that those are cases that are worth reopening. So somehow in this discourse that we're going to be conducting through WikiPolitiki, we want to allow people to feel safe enough to metabolize and compost some of the horrific things that have been done. If we don't face these things, then we won't be able to heal them. And that's where we are right now. We have this huge shadow hanging over our country, and it's not just the shadow of ancient perpetrations like slavery and what we did to the native people. It's more recent perpetrations since World War II, where we've empowered what some have called the deep state, which rules whether there's Democrats or Republicans in power. And that's what I think, that's what the 61% of people, probably higher percentage now, are waking to, recognizing that it doesn't matter which of the puppets you vote for, there's something fundamentally dark and wrong at the center of our government and governing system. And as the Swami would say, the only way to really confront the deep state is by cultivating the deeper state of love, coherence, and even laughter. So if we want to metabolize what we call the residue of 5,000 years of rule by the overrule of the golden rule by the rule of gold, which is do to unto others before they can do to unto you. We have to cultivate the light. I think it's important that we remember that the last hugely successful movement for social change, the civil rights movement, was a church-based movement. It had its origins in the churches. There was a religious sense about it. There was a sense of deep moral commitment and recognizing that we're not just going for change on the translational level, we're going for transformational change. And the way we get transformational change is we access the transcendent. This is something that progressives who are, you know, have their own reasons for tending to not be religious, I think that in many cases they've thrown the baby Jesus out with the bathwater, that in rejecting the manipulative dominator-dominated religions, that they've also lost a sense of sacred that's at the center, that should be at the center of our lives. You know, in old ancient times, there was a fire in the fireplace at the center of every village, and that was that eternal light. That was the that fire of spirit that was burning, and we don't have that at the center of our spiritual life. So one of the other goals and intentions of Wiki Politiki is to bring people together to have these conversations of the heart and soul, and to cultivate conversations that talk about creating common purpose, common intention together. Maybe it's time that we declare independence from the two-party duopoly and liberate ourselves from the kinds of political conversations that have wasted a tremendous amount of energy, and come front and center together to create political sanity from the inside out.
Mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I rescued Toast from a shelter in 2011. I love Toast because she's a lazy diva. Toast does whatever she wants, obviously. She's sleeping right now. She's so loving. She's so comforting. When I walked into the shelter, I knew right then that she was special.
Toast, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Okay, Steve Bierman here, back with Wiki Politiki. And incidentally, we're going to, as we do these shows, we're going to have guests every week. And it's not just going to be me talking. We're going to be in conversation with some really excellent solutionaries. So we'll talk more about that later. I want to talk a little bit more about really what I see the task of an independent movement of citizens. That is one of the intentions I have through Wiki Politiki is to spark a movement of movements and to cultivate a movement, a community of people who recognize a number of things. First of all, our guest next week, by the way, will be my colleague, cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, author of Biology of Belief, and he and I wrote Spontaneous Evolution. And Bruce and I will be talking about what biology has to say about the body politic and where we are right now in evolution. And, you know, Bruce says that crisis precipitates evolution, and we can notice that with the confluence of crises we have right now, the chances of precipitation are 100%. So in that conversation, we are going to be really looking at what are the transformational tools that are beyond politics that are required for us to mature individually and as a species. It doesn't take everybody, but it takes a critical mass of the heretofore uncritical masses to get through this time, which has been described as apocalypse. Now, the original meaning of the word apocalypse meant the lifting of the veils. And as we can see, the veils are being lifted on all of these toxic perpetrations of centuries. And at the same time, the awesome opportunity is the veils are also being lifted on the tools that we have, spiritual tools from many ancient traditions and modern discoveries that enable us to heal the past and design the future. So I think it's really one of the things that's coming up, of course, in these times is the shadow. And it's interesting that over the last month, we've had this Harvey Weinstein crisis where all of a sudden these women are coming forward about how they were abused, sexually abused, raped, some would say, by Harvey Weinstein. And then similar reports about various other well-known and powerful men. And so what we're seeing is abuse of power and exploitation coming to light. And so the attention has been on Harvey Weinstein, but I would like to suggest that there's really other ways that this exploitation takes place. And in a certain regard, perhaps it represents the two political polarities in their detriment. In one sense, we have, you know, on one side, we have the obviously aggressive aggressor, like Harvey Weinstein, you know, and that's obvious. He used his power, he used his influence, he used his rage to intimidate and to essentially rape women, to get them to have sex with him, perform sexual acts without their consent. However, on the other side, we have Bill Cosby. He was the sexual predator of last year. And we're not hearing much about Bill Cosby right now, but Bill Cosby represents the other aspect of exploitation, the exploitation of the passive aggressive, the exploitation of stealth and manipulation. And underneath the smiley face, underneath the happy face of Dr. Huxtable, the character he played on the Bill Cosby show, we have these horrific perpetrations where he essentially drugged women and leveraged them into having sex with him. So I think that as we lift the veils on all types of shadow, and this is how it relates to our two political sides, the election a year ago shocked many, many people. It shocked a lot of people on the progressive side. How could a Donald Trump be elected president? How could they not elect Hillary over Donald Trump? And the answer to that, no, it's not because Hillary is a woman. It's because Hillary is that woman with a lot of baggage, a lot of unanswered questions from her past, a lot of connections to other predatory elites and so on. And keep in mind that the wars that the Democrats opposed when George Bush and Dick Cheney were perpetrating these wars were wars that they reluctantly went along with when Obama, the happy, smiley-faced Obama, with the assistance of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. So I think that part of this great uprising is instead of doing what we've done in the past, that is allowing perpetrations by people on our side, rationalizing it as a lesser evil, to evolve spiritually and begin to recognize that, as the biblical phrase goes, by their works you shall know them. By their works you shall know them. So, in other words, begin to recognize predatory, exploitative behavior wherever it is, whether it's people you're aligned with or not. And then that way we can eliminate or limit the influence of what the Swami would call sociopathogens in the body politic. Because what we have right now, as I said, divide and conquer. Who benefits? Who benefits from divide and conquer? Well, obviously the people who are already in power. There were people who expected that Donald Trump, the rogue elephant coming into office, would be so disruptive that he would disrupt the deep state, that I actually had somebody who voted for Donald Trump say to me with total innocence, well, wouldn't it be great if he made Elizabeth Warren Secretary of Treasury? And I looked at this woman incredulous. But that's how, you know, again, when people are stirred out of political stupor and ignorance and innocence in a certain regard by distorting press and so on, then they can believe things like that. So part of what we want to do is not just educate people about the past, but design a future together, really allow ourselves to come together and ask ourselves really threatening questions. Here's a threatening question. What would it be like to have heaven on earth? Now, this is not totally ridiculous. 50 years ago, Buckminster Fuller, one of my favorite philosophers and inventors, wrote a book called Utopia or Oblivion. And he actually meant that. He meant that as the world becomes, in a shrinking world that could use a good shrink, as we have such a burgeoning of population and as the institutions become more entrenched, as our habits become more entrenched, the only way that we will be able to avoid hell on earth is to create heaven on earth. Now, heaven on earth is not people sitting around on clouds playing the harp. Heaven on earth means simply having better problems to solve. So instead of having to solve the problem, how do we feed all of these starving people? The problem becomes, how do we get them healthy and delicious food? Instead of having, what do we do about these people without houses? How do we make homes that are better? So we've been so programmed about original sin that we forget, as Matthew Fox would say, about original blessing, the resources that we have to come together and work together and gather around the heart. Earlier this year in the summer, there was something that happened off the coast of Pensacola, Florida. There was a family that was stranded in the riptide out in the middle of the water, and they were going to drown. And so the people on the beach made a human chain to reach out far enough to pull those people to safety. And I guarantee that while these people were involved in the human chain, nobody was asking the person next to them, oh, are you a Democrat or a Republican? What is your religion? Nobody asked those questions. They were pulling together in a tug of peace rather than pushing against one another. The great uprising involves recognizing that we don't have to be in a crisis situation. We don't have to be in a natural or an unnatural disaster to begin to cooperate, work together, and so on. So we are actually looking at ways of making it safe to talk about what we really want. We've been so dissuaded from that. We've been so programmed to vote for the lesser evil, that when Swami Beyondananda says, imagine going to the voting booth and voting for the greater good. It's a funny joke. It's an ironic joke because that's the last thing that we do. And so here we are at this point of great crisis, great opportunity to invent new things, to begin to work together. as Bucky Foley would say. So what would happen if we played what Bucky would call the world game, as opposed to the end of the world game that we seem to be headed for right now? The world game, that is where he's using our creativity to create a world that works for all without detriment to the natural world. It's an intention. It's a vector. It's something that calls us forth. What would happen if communities, if states, if nations, if the people of the world actually came together around a statement of purpose? You know, successful businesses have statements of purpose. They have intentions. They have a mission statement. And individuals who are successful also have a mission statement and a statement of purpose. What if we, the people of the United States, came up with a mission statement? Not something to enforce on other people, like a law, but simply something to keep in mind, keep in heart, to hold as we are going about our daily work and making our choices as to what we empower, what we support with our money, with our time, with our intention, with our vote. This is what's really important right now, because even though it's going to take a huge movement of lots of people, it all begins with each of us individually. So part of this conversation and Wiki Politiki will be not just what's going on out there in the political world, it's what's going on in here in our own psyches, in our own spiritual life, that will make us a fractal of this new waking up, wising up entity called humanity, or as I prefer calling it, humankind, where the currency of humankind is human kindness. Wouldn't that be interesting? So I'm calling for a real conspiracy, because a conspiracy means breathing together. So as we all breathe together, breathing is very important. We bring oxygen to the brain. We get out of the fight or flight manipulation by fear, and we start to imagine what my colleague Charles Eisenstein calls the more beautiful world that our hearts know is possible.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Back with Wiki Politiki, and now a word from Swami Beyondananda. Hello, everybody. We have a deeply divided body politic. Half the population believes our elections are broken. The other half believes that they're fixed. Well, what we need to do is we have been divided into red tribe Republicans, blue tribe Democrats who spend all of their energy arguing about whether it is worse to kill the born or the unborn. What we have to do is bring left and right, front and center. We have to bring them in the conversation, to bring red tribe and blue tribe together to sit in sacred circle and talk until they are purple in the face. Because we are all suffering from the same condition. 5,000 years of rule by the lowest common denominator of do unto others before they can do unto you. And this has left a lot of residue. So the question we must ask is, will the done do be our undoing, or can we undo the do that has been done? This is the perfect time. Now is the time, because it is too late to do it sooner. Swami Biyandananda, namaste, namasko. Okay, well, you heard from the Swami. We're also going to have, as a feature on our show, we're also going to have what I call signs of the uprising. And today, my guest is somebody who is very, very close to me. She's really close to me. We're related through marriage. It's my wife, Trudy Sievert Behrman, and she is here to talk with us about a sign of the uprising, something that has to do with, well, tell us what.
Well, the current sign of the uprising, and it's a big one, is the legalization of industrial agricultural hemp here in California, in Kentucky, in Colorado, and other states, and rapidly becoming legal across the United States. And this is huge. One of the things that has happened from that is there is a community in Austin, Texas, called Community First Village, which is by Mobile Loaves and Fishes, which is really helping the homeless and growing and building hempcrete homes as well as other auxiliary housing. And the main thing there is also bringing the people together in community, which was one of the main things that they found homeless people were missing. So hempcrete building there, and that's really one of my focuses in particular, hemp and hempcrete building.
So what is it about hempcrete? What is hempcrete? What is
hempcrete? Hempcrete, first of all, let's just clear the air. There's cannabis, and there's cannabis hemp. And they're the same plant different, like corn and field corn. And cannabis hemp is agriculture, has been used for agricultural and industrial purposes for thousands of years in every culture, every society. And as of 80 years ago, approximately, it was made illegal in this country, basically extracting all of the benefits that hemp brings that have been given to us by nature of providing food, clothing, shelter, medicine, and biofuels. And as far as hempcrete building, hemp is really an astounding building material in that it is fire resistant, which is a big thing here with the fires that we've just recently had in Santa Rosa. Fire resistant, mold proof, mildew proof, insect and rodent proof. It's non-toxic and it's excellent for people with environmental allergies. And there is much research saying that it also blocks a high degree of ELFs. Hempcrete, which is basically from the hemp, the inner core of hemp, the herd and lime and water, you create hempcrete from those three ingredients. Hempcrete is approximately 7 times stronger than concrete and about 7 times lighter than concrete, and zero carbon, non-toxic, and actually a hempcrete home actually absorbs about 30,000 pounds of carbon in its lifetime. It's pretty amazing stuff. very strong in that there's actually hempcrete homes in England that are 700 years old and more. There is a bridge abutment in France that is made out of hempcrete, and it's from the 6th century. This is some strong stuff that that grows like a weed. It's really quite amazing stuff. And so here, as far as housing solutions, affordable housing and for people in general and for the homeless, hemp is an easy and elegant solution.
Thank you so much, Trudy. We'll be hearing a lot more about agricultural industrial hemp as time goes on. I have a feeling that this might be one of those things that brings left and right front and center. So this is I want to tell you a little bit more about the show. We're going to have guests who are, like Trudy offered her expertise on hemp. There'll be other things related to signs of the uprising, signs that things really are changing. They just don't get reported because it doesn't fit into the narrative right now. Some of the shows we're going to be doing, we're going to be, of course, talking with Bruce Lipton. We're also going to have a show on forgiveness. We will have that forgiveness show. We were supposed to have that first, but I'm hoping that Leonard Laskow and Celeste Iacoboni, our guests, will forgive me for preempting that and putting it later. It'll be much better. We're also going to have a show about a new institution called the National Town Square. You'll be hearing about that. We're going to have somebody talking about from healthcare to healthy and caring, the life economy versus the death economy, sacred feminine as the antidote to the scared masculine. We'll be bringing together left and right, alternative, the alt-left journalist, Mark Crispin Miller, and the alt-right commentator, Paul Craig Roberts, in conversation to see what common threads can be woven together to deal with the common threats that all the people of the United States face, from unchecked and unbalanced power. We'll be talking about some of the more esoteric aspects of the collective mind, like family constellation therapy, what's happened to our ancestors are playing out in the reality that we're facing now. We'll be talking about peace, give peace a chance, really. And more than, I'd say most importantly, we'll be talking with you, our audience. You'll have a chance to feedback and feed forward. We have a very creative way of having conversations emerge from these shows, thanks to my colleague Richard Lang of Democrasoft. He's created something called the Widget, which is a traveling conversation that allows you to invite other people to participate in the conversation. We're also looking to spark these conversations nationwide, more and more people coming across the divide and rehumanizing instead of dehumanizing one another. That's really what we're looking forward to. We are looking forward to healing the body politic and creating heartland security. If we have heartland security, then homeland security will be an understood. So only by gathering above and beyond the divide can sane and reverent and honest and well-meaning people from all sides and angles hold our governance and institutions accountable. This is really important. We have not been able to do that by being every election season, by being forced into one camp or the other, one lesser evil or the other. We have not been able to unite and thrive together. And that's really what we're looking at doing through WikiPolitiki, recognizing our own individual shadows, and by doing so, seeing how easy it is to buy into things that are less than beneficial because somebody on our side is doing it, it must be okay. So I think we're going to have to stretch our imagination here. I want you to imagine citizens actually getting to know one another and themselves And instead of being given two unacceptable candidates to choose from, we create our own criteria. Now, the Swami suggests a new technique. He calls it television, where I tell a vision to you and you tell a vision to me. So I want you to imagine something. Instead of the way the president is selected now, what if we had, and I'm being jokey about this, but I'm actually quite serious, a reality TV show called America's Next President? What if we did that? And what if instead of having to vote for one of the two candidates that we've been given, what if we conduct it like we would a job search? We, the people of America, are searching for somebody who we want to have as our CEO, somebody who has these qualities. And then what if millions and millions of people agree on which one they want? And that candidate either runs as part of a independent party, or that candidate runs as a write-in. This may be a way for us to overgrow the current dysfunctional system. We'll be talking much more about those kinds of ideas and taking the ideal and creating the real deal. So I'm really looking forward to having this conversation, and I will see you, or you will hear me, next week. Steve Behrman, this is Wiki Politicky.